Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and the podcast with former Cardinals pitcher Mitch Harris. All podcasts are presented by Ryan Kelly. Visit him at thehomeloanexpert.com. A graduate of the Naval Academy, Mitch served in the United States military for 4 years, 8 months, and 8 days, attaining the rank of lieutenant. He was deployed a total of 3 times. In baseball, he was drafted by the Cardinals in the 13th round of the 2008 MLB draft, but he was unable to pitch for the Cardinals until 2013 due to his commitment to the Navy. In 2015, after a long journey, Mitch Harris was called up to the big leagues. On April 21st of the 2015 season, the Cardinals were in Washington that day to play the Nationals, and he was near where he was based in Norfolk, Virginia. An amazing story was about to unfold that night.
One right here in this ballpark. It involves Mitch Harris, only the second guy from the Naval Academy to make it to the major leagues. And having broadcast Navy sports some years ago, football, I know the tradition over there, the atmosphere of the Naval Academy, really something special. Everybody's, I think, pulling for this young guy to make it big in the big leagues.
They are, Johnny. You don't often hear of stories of this one in baseball, and it's got a local flavor to it. Mitch Harris graduated from the Naval Academy, as you just said, went on 3 deployments, twice to the Persian Gulf. That makes him like many other midshipmen, the difference here being that Harris was a 13th round pick of the Cardinals in 2008, and yesterday was called up to the big leagues for the first time. Harris didn't start his pro baseball career until 2013 because of his naval service, but now he's here. And it certainly was an unconventional road to the big leagues for the righty, but one that Harris says he's proud of.
The academy, you can't recruit, high-end prospects that other colleges, can do, because that's not the purpose of the academy. But I think it means a lot to them to be able to say, hey, this is the type of people that we have come through here. We have a lot of talented athletes that sometimes are swept under the rug. They might not be the size or necessarily have the talent that others have. But it shows the hard work and perseverance and attitude that they kind of instill in us there and that we learn there. I think it means a lot to the academy. I threw on the flight deck when we could, depending on how the seas were. But it wasn't often. I mean, depending on what type of operations we were doing or if I'd watch, depending on if we could do it or not. So we would when we had the opportunity. On my second ship, USS Carr, the flight deck wasn't big enough to, so I wasn't able to throw on the ship. But the Ponce, I was able to every so often. Those times when I doubted, but I think the toughest part is, when you have a dream, if you tell yourself you're not going to be able to do it, you're setting yourself up for failure. So I told myself the whole time that there was going to be a time when I was going to give myself a chance to do this. So I tried to make sure that the whole time I was going to tell myself that this was going to happen, and that was the best way to go about it. I'm human. There was definitely days where I thought there's no shot. There's no chance I was going to do this. But here we are.
The president of baseball operations for the Cardinals, John Mozeliak, was in Washington that day, the day that Harris was called up to the majors.
This morning when I woke up, I was reading some things on Twitter and on the internet, and a lot of people were wondering if this was a baseball decision or just a great story decision. And I will tell you that it's both. And one is he earned his right to pitch in the big leagues. We had an opportunity because Peter Borges, his wife, was having a baby, and so he took advantage of the paternity leave. And therefore, when you look at what Mitch has accomplished, not only in spring training, but early on in Memphis, he was certainly opening up some eyes. And so proud of him from a baseball standpoint. But there is a story to this.
Harris didn't get into the game that night, but he did make his major league debut later on the trip. April 25th, against the Milwaukee Brewers, Harris realized a dream. He had made it to the big leagues.
29-year-old Mitch Harris, major league debut. And it's believed that he is the first U.S. Naval Academy graduate to appear in the majors since pitcher Nemo Gaines did it back with the Washington Senators in 1921. Congratulations, Mitch Harris. What a moment. A strikeout, the first hitter he faces in the major leagues. Mitch Harris, welcome to the big leagues. Here's an 0-2 pitch from Mitch Harris. The fly ball. Wong is there. Mitch Harris, a scoreless inning in the big leagues.
After the season, he received the Tony C. Award, Tony Conigliaro, which goes to a player that has overcome adversity through the attributes of spirit, determination, and courage that were trademarks of Tony C. This is the amazing story of Mitch Harris. Thank you, Mitch, for your service.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
Mitch Harris, U.S. Navy Lieutenant, 13th round selection, 2008 of the Cardinals, the first U.S. Naval Academy grad to pitch in the big league since 1921, and he's my guest. I say that to you, does it still resonate? Does it still blow you away a little bit?
I wouldn't say it blows me away because, again, I tell people this all the time. It's just my story. So to me, it's kind of just, hey, that is what it is. But at the same time, it's an honor to be in a category like that, and to be able to follow in Nemo Gaines' footsteps is a really cool thing.
Did his family reach out to you at all?
No, they didn't. You know, and I tried to do a little research to try to figure out if I could get in touch with them. Hopefully, in the future, maybe I can. But no, I have not been able to be in touch with his family.
Is baseball out of your system? Or are you retired?
I am. You know, the last several months has been great. I get to see my daughter and wife every day. And I think there's not a whole lot that's more important than that. And it's been a transition for sure. And I definitely miss it, miss playing, miss the guys. But at the end of the day, I think we did it right. And I accomplished, I think, more than what people thought would happen, and I can take that away and know that I can be proud of what we accomplished.
You do realize it wasn't supposed to happen, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I tell people all the time that's what kept me going. You know, is I had people from my childhood that said, hey, wow, that's a great aspiration. Good luck, and kind of like pat you on the shoulder, like that's not going to happen. You know, I had people in college that said, you did go to the Naval Academy, and there's no shot. You know, now you've got to do your time, and that's kind of the end of your dream. And then even when I got here, obviously I have the most respect out of almost anybody from this organization for the fact of what they've allowed me to do. But there was even people here in this building that probably didn't think it was going to happen, and kind of just, hey, let's see what how far he can go. And I took all of that and kind of used that to motivate me and push. And, whenever I have a challenge, I always accept it and see how far I can take it.
It was such a great story and still is. And watching you go through what you went through was amazing. And I remember spring training, the Cardinals brought you out to a game and you were just coming back and you were throwing about 80 miles an hour. And the place, I got goosebumps right now, the place gave you a standing ovation, and I thought, and we were doing the game on TV, and I thought, well, what a neat story, professional baseball player from the Naval Academy, and here he is in a big league game. Little did I know, or anybody else, maybe outside of yourself, that you would make it to a major league park. At that point in time, did you honestly think in the back of your mind, I can still do this? I mean, were you my point would be, were you the only guy that was thinking, this could happen?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, while I was, and it kind of stems back to my time, on active duty when I was, when we were deployed and I was thrown with, my buddy that was a cook on our ship. I mean, I think at that time people were like, man, that's kind of cool. He's throwing, but it's like, why? Like, he's still got a couple more years, and even talking with close friends, it was like, hey, man, that's cool. I think that's cool. You got drafted. Good luck, if that
right.
ever happens. But I think, there was obviously days that I thought, man, did I play my last game?
Right.
But I truly believe deep down that I knew it was going to happen. And I think when it came to, for instance, the first game in spring, when I like to tell people I absolutely got rocked, it was a motivator. I mean, it showed me like, hey, you're not where you were. I thought I was a really good pitcher in college. And I lost a lot of it, obviously, and I think it just motivated him to prove that, hey, this isn't really the pitcher that I am, and I'm not back to where I can be. And even in college, I can improve from where I was. So let's get back to where I was, and then improve on that. And I And I'm proud to say that through a lot of help and coaches that we did get back there, and I think I even improved.
Was it frustrating to see guys that were at the Naval Academy in various sports allowed to bypass their service to go play professional sports, where as a baseball player, they were kind of like, no, that's not going to happen. If you're a football player, maybe it does happen. Was that frustrating at all for you?
Yeah, you know, again, this is a tough subject because, you know, whenever you sign to commit to the Naval Academy, you understand that there is a commitment. And I want to make it very clear that we totally understand that. And I knew that there was a commitment, and I wanted to fulfill that commitment. With that being said, there's multiple ways to fulfill that commitment. And, you know, I try to tell, and I told my guys this when I was, on active duty, that, look, if the Navy is a stepping stone for you, that's great. If you're trying to be a career sailor, awesome. If you're trying to use this as an educational piece to go out and you know, be an electrician when you're done with this, that's great. Use this to get to where you're wanting to be. Whatever your goals are, aspirations, do that. And so it felt like I had to do that for the fact that that's what I was preaching to my guys. And so if I tried to say that I wasn't striving to reach my dreams, then I would be hypocritical and wouldn't have been a great officer to my men. And I think anybody who has that dream and drive has to pursue that. And if it knocks away a few years of your active duty time, give it back in your reserve time. And I think that's what I was saying is, hey, if you knock off a little of active duty time, let's extend the reserve time. And while you're a reservist, you can get them on active duty.
Sure.
So that's kind of what I was saying was, it was a little unfair. Did I want to play quicker? Absolutely. But I get it. It's part of it.
Where are you at right now with the military? Are you completely done?
I am. Uh-huh.
And are you okay with that?
I am. Yeah. You know, I think, again, I did several years in reserves following my active duty. So I was in the reserves my first few years playing ball here, and would go back and do stuff in Miami while I was in spring training here. And you know, I loved it. You know, I got to do a lot of things that many people will say they've never been able to have the opportunity to do. So again, I did everything in the military that I wanted, and it's great to say that we fulfilled that commitment.
When did you know? Were you a young kid? Did you know that you wanted to be part of the military in some branch?
Not at all. I mean, it's kind of
really
funny. Yeah, you know, I had both of my father or grandfathers were in World War II, as most guys my age. And one was in the Navy, one was in the Army, and I heard stories of Battle of the Bulge and Battle of the Midway, and it was really cool to hear some of those stories. But it never set a path for me to go to the military. And I honestly didn't know a whole lot about it until I was in high school, and the Naval Academy defensive coordinator, who was recruiting for football at our high school that day, happened to see me throw a bullpen.
Is that right?
And while he saw the bullpen, said, you know, what's this kid's story? Would like
right
to get him in touch with guys from the Naval Academy. And you know, we went to visit a few weeks later, and the rest is history.
Speaking of the rest is history, I used to watch you specifically during the national anthem, and in particular on the 4th of July and Memorial Day. What was it like when you would hear the national anthem? Because when you listen to it, I just think it's different than a guy like myself that's never served, or others that are in the stands listening to that national anthem. I get goosebumps thinking about it from maybe your perspective. What was that like on those particular national holidays, knowing that you represented our country, and then what we were celebrating, something that we all enjoy, baseball in the United States?
Yeah, it's it's really hard to put into words because it's a brotherhood that many don't understand unless you're a part of. Knowing that guys would literally die for people they don't know and for this country, and knowing that I was able to represent those heroes as I stood out there and one of one, and to have people come to the stadium to say, hey, I'm in the military station, this command, and you know, I'm pulling for you. There's no price that could be put on that. It's it was an honor to be that guy that the servicemen and women could pull for And during the national anthem, that's what I thought about. I thought about those that were, you know, deployed. I thought about those that, you know, didn't come home. And, you know, it was emotional. I mean, it was tough sometimes to think like, you know, people are taking this for granted, you know, and it's something that we really need to think about as a country, is that there's, you know, brothers, fathers, sons, daughters that just are not coming home, that we don't talk about, that allow us the freedom to do what we do every day. And it's a sacrifice that some people just will not understand.
Did you have that happen to you, brothers and sisters that did not come home that you were close to?
Fortunately, I did not. I did have some guys that were in some intense combat, and you know, fortunately, everything was fine. We did have a sailor that did not come home from a deployment. Well, I won't get into it. Long story short, we had a gentleman on our ship that passed away. And it's tough. I mean, yeah. You know, I didn't know him personally. I knew of him on our ship, but still, it's close to home. And, you know, there's just so much that is involved in that, that people, again, just don't quite understand unless you're a part of it. And because you're together. You're together there 24/7 when you're deployed. And when you're at home, you know, you still go to work every day like everybody else. And you see everybody, and it's like it's a large family.
Hi. I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
The irony of your call-up I thought was awesome, and the fact that you were called up in Washington, correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
You know, here we are at our nation's capital, and we've got a naval officer getting called up to the big leagues, and I get goosebumps again thinking about it. I personally love our military. I think what you guys have done, and it's just incredible. It's something of the ultimate sacrifice that you were talking about. I just have the utmost respect for all of you. And then you made your debut in Milwaukee.
The 29-year-old Mitch Harris, Major League debut. And it's believed that he is the first U.S. Naval Academy graduate to appear in the majors since pitcher Nemo Gaines did it back with the Washington Senators in 1921. Congratulations, Mitch Harris. What a moment. The fly ball. Wong is there. Mitch Harris, a scoreless inning in the big leagues.
So how did life change for you as a naval officer and as a guy now as a citizen, if you will, wearing a Major League uniform, and now you get called up and the fanfare and exploded everywhere, social media, ESPN, everywhere you turn on a TV, there was the great story of Mitch Harris. So how did life change after that initial call-up and then debut in Milwaukee?
I mean, honestly, it didn't change a whole lot, you know, other than my buddies, you know, text me and give me a tough time that I didn't get in D.C. because, you know, they were saying, you know, that would have been the best story. But no, it was great. You know, it was one of those things where, again, I think it was more along the lines of so many people that had the doubts and had the, hey, man, that would be a great aspiration. I think it kind of took them by surprise a little bit, and that's kind of the biggest thing that I saw afterwards was everybody realizing that, man, he didn't give up on that, and he really did strive for that, and wouldn't take, you know, no, or, hey, I don't think so, or, you know, I don't think that's probably the right route to go. He didn't take that for an answer, and, you know, that's probably the only thing that changed was people actually, I don't want to say took me serious, but it was like, wow, you know, he actually meant what he was saying. But other than that, you know, I was still the same old guy after that. And, you know, it's just now an honor to look back and realize that, you know, my CO was able to be there in D.C. My first
amazing,
you know, commanding officer was there and share that with guys that I've served with.
You saw a lot of things, I'm sure, in the military that none of us will ever see. I'm just curious how that prepared you for your debut and calming you down and nerves and being able to maybe relax in that moment, realizing that here you are, it's something you worked your entire life for, but yet you've been through so much, maybe that allowed you to relax a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot. There's a lot of intense moments for sure while you're deployed. Nothing compares to 40,000 people making sure you throw a strike.
Right.
But with that being said, yeah, there's definitely some advantages for sure. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I was able to say, you know, this is a game. you know, this isn't life or death, you right. know. So that definitely helps. And you know, the biggest part I think that really helped me was the team aspect of, you know, when you're in the military, it's attention to detail. You do your job, the other person's going to do theirs, and that's how you, you know, complete the mission. And I think that's kind of a lot of the same in our sport is you do your job, they're going to do theirs, and you'll complete the mission and get the win. And that really, really helped was, hey, this is what my job is to go in the middle, you know, middle late innings and get us back in the dugout to score.
What was your favorite moment, if you have one?
Oh, man, there's a lot. I think, you know, I think the biggest moment I'll remember is obviously my first at bat. Not my first at bat, because that didn't go like I wanted to there in Colorado. But my first hitter was obviously, you know, something I'll never forget.
A strikeout, the first hitter he faces in the major leagues. Mitch Harris, welcome to the big leagues. You've more than earned it.
You know, I think some of the more intense moments, you know, maybe my first save, first win, I think some of those were very meaningful to me. I think, you know, the one in Chicago was great. So, yeah, there's several moments that definitely stand out. I don't know if I can take one away, but there's several that were very intense for sure.
Give me an example for people that are listening to this of how you kept your arm in shape. You mentioned that you had a buddy on a ship, probably couldn't play a lot of long toss, but you're able to at least play catch. What was the experience like trying to stay in shape and play catch and do the things that you needed to do?
Well, you can't keep your arm in shape. And that's kind of what I told people was I knew that I wasn't going to keep my arm in shape. There's just no possibility of that. I wasn't going to be able to throw every day. There's no mound. You know, I wasn't able to long toss. You know, our ship had a flight deck on it, but not like your carriers that have a extremely long flight deck. This had just a helicopter pad, basically, if you will. So just enough to, you know, throw a little further than 90 feet. You know, it was one of those things where I told myself, if I kept my body in the best shape that I could, I knew that when I got back home that I could then focus on my arm and not have to worry about, was my body going to be able to withstand it? And fortunately enough, that was the case. As I came back here in the first spring, was very tough, you know, getting the shoulder back into to throwing and you know, pushing through some aches and pains of, hey, you've never thrown this much and you've never thrown this hard. And you know, it was a grind, you know, but the nice part was that my body was in good shape and I didn't have to worry about anything else breaking down. I knew I could just focus on getting the cobwebs and the tightness and stuff coming out of the arm. And once that broke through, then I knew we were going to be, you know, in the right position.
Any advice for young people out there that are thinking about the military? What would you say to them?
Well, I'd start with the whole, what is it? What's your end goal? What's your, you know, what's your purpose? Why are you going to do it? You know, if it's about, hey, I'm going in this and it's about me, you're probably not going to do real well. That's a very big team. And, it's a team that fights together and wins together. And I think, you know, if it's, hey, I'm going to go in, but in the thought process of, hey, I want to pay for school. I want to end up going to school so I can do something else. That's great. Have the mentality though that you're going to go in thought of, hey, I want to join this team and be a part of something bigger than myself. Because, you know, we have a saying, ship, shipmate, self, and ship comes first, shipmate second, and then you are last. So I think that's a tough part that some people don't quite get until they get in there and it's really taught to them and they have to learn it the hard way. But I think it's a great thing. I mean, I think I would never take back the 5 years that I was in and seeing 30 countries and 3 deployments. I enjoyed every minute of it. And was there a struggle? Absolutely. Were there times when I really, really wanted to be home with family? Of course. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't take it back. For a second.
This may be a very tough question to answer. Was there any point in time on missions that you probably can't talk about in detail, if at all, that you thought, I might not be coming home?
Yeah, fortunately for us, we didn't have any extremely intense combat. And the nice part about that is that, you know, I didn't have the nights where, you know, that I thought, you know, man, am I going to get to see my wife again? Or, man, am I going to be able to see family again? And I think that's what's so special to me about the men and women that have had to go through those times. We had some intense times. You know, there was some times where, you know, we had to man our guns and we had, you know, things that, you know, could have escalated very quickly, and unfortunately it didn't happen. But there's a lot of people that have had those moments that they either record something or, you know, take a video, or they just think, man, I just would like to see a family member one more time. And I think that's the tough part. Again, I think that's why the respect for the people in the military in this country should be much more than it is, because if you've never experienced anything like that from either side, from the family side or the service member side, there's no reason that you shouldn't have the utmost respect for the fact that what they have to go through is unfathomable. And I think that the people who go through that and you know, get to come home, it's special. And I think, you know, that brings back the awareness that when those people do come home, we have to make sure that they're taken care of. You know, a lot of people are struggling that you can't see. They have wounds that you'll never see. And a lot of it's mental. And, you know, I'm a big advocate for mental health for the military. And I really want to see some change in that and real help. You know, and I did a thing. One of the things that I thought was really cool a couple years ago, which trying to bring awareness to it, was a 22-day push-up challenge where you do 22 push-ups a day. And for people who don't understand, that was the statistic. 22 people a day were committing suicide. And was it to PTSD? Was it to some form of mental illness? Yeah. I mean, and we can't fathom what those guys go through, what those men and women go through, but we have to remember that they did that for us, and they fought for us, and now they're struggling with something we might not be able to see, but we need to support them.
Are you going to try to get more involved as you go along? Are you setting up anything or trying to
absolutely
get involved?
Yeah, so there's several. I mean, there's so many really good ones, charities out there. You know, Hope for the Warriors, Intrepid Fallen Hero Fund. You know, there's a lot of that I've tried to help out with and will continue to try to help out with and be involved with. And I just think there's so many great opportunities out there. So, you know, find one that you support and believe in and see what they're doing and get involved to try to help those people out.
You're a role model, I think, for so many people. Do you feel like an inspiration when people tell you that? I look at you as an inspiration. Do you feel that way?
You know, I hope so. You know, I think that goes back to a lot of times what I tell people is, you know, if anything comes out of this, the story that comes from it is I just want it to motivate and impact people. And if it does that, then I've accomplished more than I thought I could. And I want people to hear the story and think, okay, you know what, I can't get that job that maybe I didn't think I really could, or maybe I can fulfill this dream that people told me it was too far off to go after. And that's all I can hope for, is that someone hears a story and says, you know what, people have told me I'm probably not good enough to do this, but they're not me. You know, I can do this. And hopefully, you know, someone out there that does hear it says, you know what, I'm going to take that next step and have the courage to face that challenge and you know, take it on.
Have you thought about going on the speaker circuit?
I haven't. There's been some talk about it. You know, I would love to, you know, again, back to the whole, if I can inspire someone, I'm all about it. So absolutely. I mean, I think if it evolves, I'll do it, you know, you know, we'll see. I think that's something down the road that I'd love to do.
How about a book?
A book is, it's in the works. It's a very, small stages, but we've had the talks about, getting that started. And we'll kind of see what happens. But that's probably a few years away.
And something that, as we wrap it up, that you might want to keep in mind as people are listening, Mitch Harris and the potential of a movie, because I think a lot of people would be interested in that.
So that is actually going to happen. We have been in touch with some people that want to make this thing a movie, and we are in the process of writing a script. And within the next month or so, we'll have a preview of that. I'll let the Cardinals view that, and I want the Cardinals and the Navy to both be a support in that, and obviously I want them to see it and make sure that it's fit with what they think is right. And again, I hope it's one that inspires people and that they'll really leave the theater thinking, you know what, wow, if he can do that, then I can do this.
Who would play you?
That's a good question. I have no idea. We'll see. That's a good one.
And finally, what keeps you busy these days? What are you doing?
Well, so now I'm a financial advisor with Merrill Lynch in Atlanta, and trying to help out some of these guys. Obviously, this is a passion for me to make sure these guys who don't have a long career can either set themselves up for their next career, or if they've done well enough that they've put enough away and got a plan to make sure that they can spend the rest of their time with their family at home and keep what they've earned.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your story, your inspiration, and most importantly, your service.
I appreciate it. Thanks again.
Thanks, Mitch.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com.
I couldn't wait to release this interview with Mitch Harris. It's inspiring, amazing, and a tribute to a man that was willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice to protect our freedoms. If you get the chance, reach out to Mitch on Twitter. Tell him you heard this. Thank him for his service. Thank you for stopping by and taking a listen to ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.